Are you ready for the holiday movie rush? Resident movie buff Chris Foran has the rundown on the box office hits and Oscar contenders that are making their way to Milwaukee's silver screens in the coming weeks. We'll have that interview and more coming up in this week's Behind the Headlines show. Once again, I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. Thanks for listening. Coming up in today's show, Paul Smith will join me for a chat about this year's gun deer hunting season. If you're curious about his favorite hunting memory, be sure to listen to that segment at the end of the show. First, news reporter Meg Jones got a behind-the-scenes tour of the USS Milwaukee. The combat ship was commissioned in Milwaukee yesterday, and bear with me here. The combat ship was, and bear with me here, the first ship to be built in a state using labor from that state, named after a city in that state, and commissioned in that state as well. Here's Meg on the history of the past USS Milwaukee ships and what makes the newly commissioned one so cool.
It was commissioned in the late 60s, participated in Vietnam, has a Vietnam service star. It was also one of the two ships that traveled to Egypt and picked up the King Tutankhamun exhibit in the 1970s, I think 1976, and was charged with bringing all these precious treasures. So if one of those ships had gone down, we never would have seen the mask of King Tut again. That was the last ship. That was decommissioned in 1994. So it's from 1994 until now. Now, there's been no ship in the U.S. Navy that's named after Milwaukee. So, yeah, that's kind of significant that it's the first ship that was built here in Wisconsin with Wisconsin labor, named after a city in Wisconsin, and it's being commissioned in that city.
And you got to take a tour of the ship before its commissioning ceremony. What was the coolest part of that tour?
What's interesting about this ship is it can do a lot of different things. So it's got a helicopter pad so helicopters can land on it. It can get very close to the shore, which a lot of the bigger ships within the Navy can't. It can open up, the back of it can open up, and they can, I saw this like a kind of a crane where they can take these smaller boats, literally pick up a smaller boat and shove it out the back of the ship. One of these smaller boats would be like a 35-foot boat. To go, could do like search and seizure expeditions, boarding other ships, that type of thing. So it's very multifaceted. What I thought was very interesting, though, is that in this large ship, it's 300 some feet long, 54 people that are assigned to it, but you only need three people on the bridge. So there's only three people that can, and they can do like 95% of all of the stuff that makes the ship run, they can do that from the bridge. And it's all very high tech. So some old salts, people that served in the Navy, you know, years ago or even 5 years ago, would be like, "Wow, there's no wheel, there's no propellers. In fact, there are no propellers. So it sucks in water and pushes out water, just like inboard outboard engines, which makes it very quick. So it runs very, very quickly." I also had a chance. So I asked before I went there. I said, "Are there any crew members that are from Wisconsin?" So I wanted to find that out ahead of time, and they're like, "Yeah, there's a guy from Superior who's one of the cooks." So when I went to visit, we were going through, taking it right through. And so we went, we were in the galley and the captain was taking us through. And he said, "We had a major incident earlier. In fact, we almost did, the super emergency. The coffee pot maker had stopped working." So as you know, that in the Navy, they'll say that actually Navies don't, run on weapons, bullets, or, it runs on coffee. So, but the crisis was averted. They were able to get the coffee maker to go again. But I talked to this cook, and he's from Superior, Wisconsin, and he was cooking chicken breasts and tuna fish that day. And I said, "Well, what's it like to cook for 100 people?" And he said, "Well, it's no different than cooking for a few people, but you just obviously it's degree of scale." But he said, "Military runs on its stomach." So he said, "I take my job very seriously." And ultimately, he said it was very cool for him as the lone cheesehead aboard to kind of represent the state, because he said it's very cool to be assigned to a ship that was built in my state by my fellow cheeseheads.
To find photos of yesterday's commissioning ceremony, head over to jsonline.com/news. You can find more coverage of the USS Milwaukee there as well. The holiday movie season arrives this weekend with the highly anticipated Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. Editor Chris Foran sat down with Brianne Chasseau to talk about what audiences can expect in the next few weeks.
Chris, this week you took a look at movies in the Milwaukee area that moviegoers can see before the end of the year. First, what makes this time of the year so special when it comes to movies?
The end of the year is typically when a lot of people have extra time to go to movies or are looking to do things during the holidays with friends. So a lot of big box office movies get released this time of year. It's also the time of year when movies that are likely contenders for Academy Awards get released so that they're close to the nominating season so that people can remember what's coming out. So we get good stuff and big stuff at the same time.
What are a few things that people will be able to see, whether they be blockbusters or, you know, award contenders?
On the blockbuster front, the biggest one after today, after Friday, when the Hunger Games movie opens, is the latest installment in the Star Wars saga, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Both of those are expected to set box office records as they go through. There are things like the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg comedy.
Daddy's Home.
There's the latest installment in the Rocky saga called Creed, with Sylvester Stallone playing his old Rocky character. This time he's the mentor to the son of his old nemesis-turned-friend Apollo Creed, who's played by Michael B. Jordan, who's a really good young actor. Stallone is actually getting some Oscar buzz for his performance already. On the artier side, or the more serious side, you've got movies like Trumbo, about the blacklisted screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, that opens the day before Thanksgiving. On Christmas Day, you've got another Oscar contender, Carol, with Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara. You've got the latest from Quentin Tarantino, The Hateful Eight, this year's obligatory revenge western. You've got The Danish Girl. Eddie Redmayne, who won an Oscar last year for The Theory of Everything, plays a pioneering transgendered person in the 20s. He's getting Oscar buzz again this year. And pretty much everything in between.
What are you excited to see?
Everything. I'd love to see everything. But priorities would have to be, obviously, the Star Wars movie. I go back and forth. When I see the trailers, I think, I want to see it. And then I see Harrison Ford as Han Solo, and then I say, I have to see that again. The Creed movie is actually looking more promising than I would have thought. There's a movie called Legend with Tom Hardy playing identical twins, the Cray brothers, who ran the British underworld in 60s London. Those are and Tarantino's movie, The Hateful Eight, only because it'll be pretty stunning, I'm sure. There are a number that I'm interested in seeing that aren't going to be here then. They'll come later.
What are those?
Probably the biggest one of those is the movie called The Revenant. It's another Western with a little bit of revenge on the side with Leonardo DiCaprio as a man left for dead who comes to get after the guys who left him. One of them is Tom Hardy. Directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu, who directed Birdman last year. And there are a couple that we don't know when they're coming or even if they're coming. Spike Lee's movie Chi-Raq, about the violence in Chicago and an interesting approach that women take to try to get in to stop it.
I think I read in your piece that it's based off of
Liz Estrada, yes, the Greek drama, where women basically withhold sexual favors in return for an end to the violence. It's also told in verse, which should be awfully entertaining. Yeah. And it'll stir up a lot of attention. This is Michael Moore's latest documentary, Where to Invade Next. But it's unclear when or whether that will actually open here. Some of the smaller movies open in New York and Los Angeles this time of year so they can get under the gun for the Oscar consideration. But they generally don't have enough of a wide release to get here right away. And it sort of depends on how well they do in New York and Los Angeles before they get here.
The full list of holiday movies is available at tapmilwaukee.com. If you're ready for Oscar season to come, then head there and check it out. And while you're there, check out Mary Louise Schumacher's Art City blog. She's got information about the Christmas Day front page art contest that's happening right now and continues until December 11th. Be sure to get your submission in. One of the challenges facing President Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act is whether people who are young, healthy, and on tight budgets will buy plans through the marketplaces. Say you're 28, living in Milwaukee, making about $33,000. Do you buy a plan? That's the question business reporter Guy Bolton answers in his latest story in today's paper. Michael Meidenbauer sat down with Guide to talk about his findings.
Let's say I'm right there. I'm making just over 30K. And this plan is, for example, $200 a month, the premium, that is. What does that get me in terms of like a deductible, copays, that kind of deal? Like, what am I looking at as a healthcare consumer when I'm paying that amount?
Yes. Now, this gets, like so many things in healthcare, a bit complicated. The lowest cost plan for someone, say, who is 28 and has that an income of about $33,000 a year in the Milwaukee area has a monthly premium of $235 a month. It has a $2,000 deductible, but the deductible doesn't apply for physician visits. Physician visits are covered a bit differently. They have a $20 copay under this plan for primary care and a $55 copay for specialty care. So you get some coverage, but really the coverage doesn't kick in unless you have a serious expense or a serious medical problem and a high expense. And that is for the lowest cost plan. The second lowest cost plan in the Milwaukee market has a $6,500 deductible and higher copays for physician visits. The question is, will young people see value in that? Clearly, they didn't before the Affordable Care Act. Now they do receive subsidies, but they are limited subsidies, less than $30 a month for someone in that age group and with that income. Now, that said, economists will tell you that we don't buy health insurance for health care. We buy health insurance to protect us from catastrophic medical expenses.
From financial ruin, really.
From financial ruin, from bankruptcy. You know, you buy insurance for, you know, peace of mind. You don't buy car insurance expecting it to cover oil changes or replacing your brakes. You don't buy homeowners insurance with the expectation that it's going to cover the cost of having your house painted.
You went out and you talked to some people in this age group who are kind of dealing with this issue where they think to themselves, you know, maybe this is worth it, maybe it's not, in terms of what I get for what I pay. So what did they say to you when you asked them that?
Well, without question, it is an expense for people. You know, depending on their income and frankly, their attitude, you know, towards insurance, they certainly do recognize that it gives them more financial security. But I did interview one young woman who had a high deductible plan. Like many people, she picked probably the lowest cost plan that she could find. And then when she had the flu and was prescribed Tamiflu by her doctor, was surprised to find out that the cost would be $400. She went without it, but you know, it was a surprise to her. And this is not uncommon. A lot of folks have focused on the premium and not looked at the deductible. And the deductibles are high. Again, you know, what this plan does do is, these plans rather, what they do is protect you from that kind of expense that can run into the tens of thousands of dollars, much less hundreds of thousands of dollars if you were to have, say, cancer.
This, of course, is a really complex issue. Guy would go on and say that there were trade-offs inherent in the Affordable Care Act. If the subsidies were high, the cost for taxpayers would be higher. If the plans had lower premiums, they would cover less. If you want more information about this story, pick up a copy of today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or visit jsonline.com/business. In addition to the snow, there's another familiar sight in Wisconsin, blaze orange gear. It's gun deer hunting season, and Paul Smith has the latest.
The Wisconsin gun deer season starts Saturday, November 21st, and it runs for 9 days. It's the annual deer hunting season that involves the most people in Wisconsin, so it's the most popular season. This year, the DNR expects to sell about 600,000 deer hunting licenses. to participate, if they were born after 1973, they would need to take a hunter safety class and be certified. It's called hunter education. Buy a license. There are resident and non-resident licenses available. There's one other opportunity that doesn't require hunter safety, and that would be the mentored hunting program. So someone age 10 and above could go hunting with an experienced hunter. This would be an adult who has already taken hunter safety. So that's another option, and that's a mentored hunting license that's available.
And is there anything new this year?
The 2015 Wisconsin gun deer season will have one major change, and this is a change from tradition that's gone back many decades. So new for this year, people will register their deer by electronic means. So they can do it by phone or over the internet, and they'll be issued a confirmation number and write that on the carcass tag. For many, many years, we've in Wisconsin had a tradition of taking the deer to a registration station, and someone there would actually affix a tag to the deer. But this new electronic method is being implemented statewide this year. It's used in many other states. So hunters have until 5 p.m. on the day after they shot the deer to execute this electronic registration, either by phone or internet.
Okay, and what's your best hunting story?
Well, my best hunting stories are usually when I take out new people and they experience hunting for themselves. I grew up in Racine, Wisconsin, and deer, when I was a kid, really weren't that common. So I can remember my very first deer hunt. I didn't see a deer, but I did see deer tracks, and that got me very excited. So now when I take out new hunters, it's always fun to see that spark in them when they're able to see deer sign or deer. So my single best hunting story would be when I took out a new hunter through a urban learn-to-hunt program. This was an adult who was interested in hunting for food, and we hunted in southern Wisconsin and were able to harvest a deer, and the joy that brought this new hunter and the meals that followed are really my probably single favorite story.
If you're a fellow hunting enthusiast or you're curious about Paul's time hunting, pick up Sunday's edition of the Journal Sentinel or follow along with his columns on jsonline.com/sports. And with that, we'll wish you a happy Thanksgiving. May you enjoy the beginning of your holiday season with friends and family, but be sure to check back next week for more.